The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Cool Blind Tech. There's a study that says that blind are better than sighted at speech and language memory. From the American Academy of Ophthalmology, there are 20 eye and vision myths that they'd like to debunk. From Black Enterprise, a Florida teenager wins big working on an invention for the blind. I may have read that already. From Cool Blind Tech again, we have Great Britain train stations installing restroom navigation for the blind. From NPR, a Medicare drug costs can rise within a month of enrollment. And if there's a chance, I would like to read a Medical Express article about a cancer drug investigation that led to a critical discovery about immunotherapy treatments. So let's get started. New study reveals blind people remember speech and language better than sighted people. May 2nd, posting on coolblindtech.com. Blind people can remember speech better than sighted people, but a person's ability to see makes no difference in how they remember sound effects, found a new study by Johns Hopkins University and the University of California, Irvine. What memory tests were conducted? Researchers conducted two memory tests with 20 blind adults and 22 blindfolded sighted adults. They wondered if blind participants would outperform sighted ones at remembering spoken sounds. First, participants listened to series of letters, followed by a delay. Then they heard either the same series or a foil series where a letter is replaced or put into the wrong position. Participants then judged whether the second series of letters was the same as the first. For the second test, they listened to letters while solving mathematical equations with proposed answers. Participants determined if equation solutions were correct, followed by reciting back the letters. What were the results of the tests? As the researchers expected, blind participants outperformed sighted ones on remembering speech. The results from another testing phase, which required solving mathematical equations and recalling letters, confirmed researchers' predictions. Blind participants again remembered more letters than sighted participants despite being forced to multitask mentally. On a daily basis, blind people use their memory much more to remember things, while sighted people can rely on visual cues to recall information, said Karen Arcos, ARCOS, lead author and a blind postdoctoral fellow at University of California, Santa Cruz, who earned her PhD at University of California, Irvine. We think blind people's advantages on the verbal tests stem from increased practice remembering information. The brain area responsible for vision in sighted people, the visual cortex, is repurposed for further functions in blind people. Perhaps it enhances blind people's language processing. What were the results of the sound effects test? In another experimental phase, participants listened to two streams of sound effects and were asked if the sounds matched. The researchers used sound effects such as tones and high-pitched beeps rather than everyday sounds to ensure sounds couldn't be labeled with words. On this task, blind and sighted people performed essentially the same. By using meaningless sound effects, we prevented participants from using language to remember them. This lowered blind people's usual memory advantage, said Bedney. Bedney, B-E-D-N-Y, is now studying what enables blind people to outperform sighted people at remembering words, letters, and numbers. Moreover, she plans to examine if the visual cortex contributes to improved memory for speech and language in those born blind. From the American Academy of Ophthalmology, 20 Eye and Vision Myths by Reena, R-E-E-N-A, Mukamal, M-U-K-A-M-A-L. Reviewed by Natasha L. Hertz, M.D., Andrea A. Tooley, M.D. Posted March 28th. You may have heard all sorts of things about what's good and bad for your eyes, but are they true? The American Academy of Ophthalmology presents you with the facts about these 20 common eye myths. Basic biology. Myth 1. All babies are born with blue eyes. When babies are born, their eyes may sometimes appear blue while their melanin is still developing. Within about 12 months, cells begin to reproduce melanin. As more melanin builds up in the iris, eye color may darken. Myth 2. Babies are born with their eyes fully grown. Generally, babies are born with eyes that are approximately two-thirds of their full adult size. Eyes continue to grow after birth, usually during two phases, one, the first few years of life, and two, puberty. Myth 3, two brown-eyed parents can't have a blue-eyed child. The truth is, you can't predict a child's eye colors from the parent's eye colors at all. Current research suggests as many as 16 different genes could be responsible for eye color. That's why two parents with the same eye color can have a child with an entirely different eye color. Vision improvement. Myth 4, eating carrots will improve your vision. Vitamin A is essential for the body to maintain healthy eyesight, and carrots have high amounts of this nutrient. But the body only needs a relatively small amount of vitamin A for vision, and it can be obtained through many sources, such as dark leafy greens, brightly colored vegetables, dairy, and fish. While eating foods rich in vitamin A can help you maintain good eyesight, it won't improve your vision or keep you from needing glasses or contacts. Remember to eat vitamin A-rich foods together with fat to better absorb the benefits. Myth 5. You can improve your vision with eye exercises. Eye exercises will not improve or preserve vision or reduce the need for glasses. Your vision depends on many factors, none of which can be significantly altered with eye exercises. However, eye exercises may be helpful for convergence insufficiency, a condition that occurs when the eyes don't work together to focus on a nearby object, making it difficult to read. Myth 6, sun gazing, or looking directly at the sun, can improve your health and well-being. Staring at the sun for even a short time without wearing the right eye protection can damage your retina permanently and even cause blindness. Ordinary sunglasses and homemade filters are not safe for looking at the sun. The only safe way to look directly at the sun is through special-purpose solar filters that meet the ISO 12312-2 standard. Vision impairment. Myth 7. If you cross your eyes, they'll stay that way. Your eye muscles allow you to move your eyes in all directions. Looking left or right, up or down, won't force them to remain in those positions, just as crossing the eyes won't force them to stay that way. Crossed eyes may result from disease, uncorrected vision, or from muscle or nerve damage. Myth 8. Only boys can be colorblind. Women can develop or inherit colorblindness, but men are at much higher risk. An estimated 1 in 10 males have some form of color deficiency. Most colorblind individuals are born with partial or complete lack of cones in the retina, which help distinguish the colors red, green, and blue. Less frequently, color vision problems can occur later in life as a result of disease, trauma, or toxic effects from drugs that damage the retina or optic nerve. Myth 9. People who are colorblind see in black and white. Most people who are colorblind see partial color. The most severe form of colorblindness, in which everything is seen as shades of gray, is uncommon. Most people with colorblindness have difficulty distinguishing between greens and reds. Myth 10. Sitting very close to the TV can damage your eyes. While sitting very close to the television may cause eye strain or give you a headache, it will not damage vision in children or adults. However, habitually sitting close to the television may signal that the person is nearsighted and, in fact, needs glasses. Children have heightened ability to focus on nearby objects, so they might find it more comfortable to sit close to the TV. Myth 11. Reading in dim light is harmful to your eyes. It does not harm your eyes to read in dim light, but good lighting can make it easier to see what you're reading and keep your eyes from tiring out more quickly. Myth 12. Using computers can damage your eyes. Looking at a computer screen will not harm your eyes, but doing so without breaks can contribute to eye strain, tired eyes, or dry eyes. Be sure to rest your eyes every 20 minutes by looking up or across the room. Blink regularly to keep your eyes well lubricated, and use artificial tears to promote moisture. Myth 13. People who wear glasses will ruin their eyes if they read fine print or do a lot of close-up work. Reading and detail work do not wear out the eyes, but they can strain your eyes, making them tired. Taking periodic rests by gazing into the distance or looking up can help provide relief. Myth 14. Wearing eyeglasses or contact lenses will make you dependent on them. Using your glasses won't worsen your vision or lead to any eye disease. If you need glasses for distance or reading, it is important to use them to avoid straining your eyes and to ensure your best vision possible. Myth 15. Wearing the wrong eyeglasses will hurt your eyes. Wearing glasses with the incorrect prescription will not damage your eyes, but it may strain them and cause achiness or blurriness or give you a headache. This should go away when you take the glasses off. Myth 16. Learning disabilities are caused by eye problems. Learning disabilities are caused by problems with how the brain processes what it sees or hears. Signs of a learning disability include trouble learning to read or write, poor grades in math, or difficulty organizing thoughts and information. Sometimes poor vision can be mistaken for a learning disability. If you notice that your child is struggling in school, have them checked out by a learning specialist and an eye care provider. Myth 17. Losing vision is an inevitable part of aging. Many vision problems that develop as people age can be treated. Presbyopia, which is near vision loss, and cataracts can both be remedied to allow adults to see clearly again. It is important to have eye exams on a yearly basis to catch both reversible and permanent threats to vision, such as glaucoma or macular degeneration. Oftentimes, early treatment can slow or prevent vision loss. Myth 18. A cataract must be ripe before it is removed. A cataract can be removed as soon as it compromises your vision. Thanks to modern advances in cataract surgery, the lens can now be removed from the eye as soon as it's cloudy enough to make reading fine print or street signs difficult. Myth 19. Eyes can be transplanted. It is not possible today to transplant a whole eye because this complex organ is connected to your brain by the optic nerve. The optic nerve is made up of more than a million tiny nerve fibers. Once these fibers are cut, they cannot be reconnected. However, ophthalmologists can transplant the cornea, which is the clear front part of your eye. Vision professionals. Myth 20. All eye doctors are the same. Ophthalmologists, optometrists, and opticians each play an important role in eye care, but their levels of training and expertise are quite different from each other. An ophthalmologist is a medical school graduate with at least 12 years of training, including 4 years of college and at least 8 years of postgraduate medical training. Ophthalmologists are the only eye care providers worldwide who are licensed to practice both medicine and surgery, and are also involved in scientific research on the causes and cures for eye diseases and vision disorders. An optometrist completes at least 3 years of college and 4 years of optometry training, and is licensed to do eye exams and vision tests, prescribe and disperse corrective lenses, detect certain eye abnormalities, and prescribe medicine for some eye diseases. An optician is a professional who prepares, measures, and adapts the fit of eye glasses or contact prescriptions written by an ophthalmologist or optometrist. Though an optician is not an eye doctor, they do complete a 2-year degree in opticianry, or a 6,000-hour apprenticeship. If you have any questions or concerns about your eyes or vision, speak with an ophthalmologist. Posted May 2nd on CoolBlindTech.com, train stations fitted with new devices to help blind and partially sighted people. Train stations fitted with new devices to help blind and partially sighted people. Washrooms at railway stations across Scarborough and Malton have been fitted with a new electronic device to help blind and visually impaired people when it comes to navigating the facilities. The ADI RoomMate devices have been installed by TransPennine Express, TPE, as part of a £100,000 investment in enhancing the accessibility of its stations. How do the ADI RoomMate devices work? They provide an audio description of which maps out the features of the accessible washroom. On entering the washroom, an automatic announcement is made, and then those requiring more information can access this simply by waving their hand. Where can the devices be found? The new technology can be found at all 16 of TPE's staffed stations, Scarborough, Malton, Brough, Cleethorpes, Dewsbury, Grimsby Town, Huddersfield, Hulk Paragon, Manchester Airport, Middlesbrough, North Ellerton, Scunthorpe, Selby, Stalybridge, Thirsk, and Thornaby. Who is the company behind ADI RoomMate? Easy Accessibility is based in Cornwall and was formed in October 2014 to research and develop life-changing technology. The business is the brainchild of Helen and Steve, who have lived with the impact of Steve's sight loss for the last 15 years. Where can we find more information on the device? For more information, including a demonstration of how the RoomMate devices work, there is a hot link on the Cool Blind Tech website. From NPR.org, drug plan prices touted during Medicare open enrollment can rise within a month. Posted by Susan Jaffe, J-A-F-F-E, on May 3rd. Something strange happened between the time Linda Griffith signed up for a new Medicare prescription drug plan during last fall's enrollment period and when she tried to fill her first prescription in January. She picked a Humana drug plan for its low prices with help from her longtime insurance agent and the Medicare Plan Finder, an online pricing tool for comparing a dizzying array of options. But instead of the $70.09 she expected to pay for her dextroamphetamine used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, her pharmacist told her she owed $275.90. "I didn't pick it up because I thought something was wrong," said Griffith, 73, a retired construction company accountant who lives in the Northern California town of Weaverville. "To me, when you purchase a plan, you have an implied contract," she said. "I say I will pay the premium on time for this plan, and they're going to make sure I get the drug for a certain amount. But it often doesn't work that way. As early as 3 weeks after Medicare's drug plan enrollment period ends on December 7th, insurance plans can change what they charge members for drugs, and they can do it repeatedly. Griffith's prescription out-of-pocket cost has varied each month, and through March, she has already paid for $133 more than she expected to. A recent analysis by AARP, which is lobbying Congress to pass legislation to control drug prices, compared drug makers' list prices between the end of December 2021, shortly after the December 7th sign-up deadline, and the end of January 2022, just a month after new Medicare drug plans begin. Researchers found that the list prices for the 75 brand-name drugs most frequently prescribed to Medicare beneficiaries had risen as much as 8%. Medicare officials acknowledge that manufacturer prices and the out-of-pocket costs charged by an insurer can fluctuate. Your plan may raise the copayment or coinsurance you pay for a particular drug when the manufacturer raises their price, or when a plan starts to offer a generic form of a drug, the Medicare website warns. But no matter how high the prices go, most plan members can't switch to cheaper plans after January 1st, said Fred Riccardi, president of the Medicare Rights Center, which helps seniors access Medicare benefits. Drug manufacturers usually change the list price for drugs in January and occasionally again in July, but they can increase prices more often, said Stacy Dusetzina, D-U-S-E-T-Z-I-N-A, an associate professor of health policy at Vanderbilt University and a member of the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission. "That's true for any health insurance policy, not just Medicare drug plans. Like a car's sticker price, a drug's list price is the starting point for negotiating discounts, in this case between insurers or the pharmacy benefit managers and drug manufacturers. If the list price goes up, the amount the plan member pays may go up too," she said. "The discounts that insurers or their pharmacy benefit managers receive don't typically translate into lower prices at the pharmacy counter," she said. "Instead, these savings are used to reduce premiums or slow premium growth for all beneficiaries." Medicare's prescription drug benefit, which began in 2006, was supposed to take the surprise out of filling a prescription. But even when seniors have insurance coverage for drugs, advocates said, many still can't afford them. "We hear consistently from people who have just absolute sticker shock when they see not only the full cost of the drug, but their cost sharing," said Riccardi. "The potential for surprises is growing. More insurers have eliminated copayments, a set dollar amount for a prescription, and instead charge members a percentage of the drug price, or coinsurance," Chiquita Brooks-Lashur, a top official at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, said in a recent interview with KHN. "The drug benefit is designed to give insurers the flexibility to make such changes. And that is one of the reasons why we're asking Congress to give us authority to negotiate drug prices," she said. CMS is also looking at ways to make drugs more affordable without waiting for Congress to act. "We are always trying to consider where it makes sense to be able to allow people to change plans," said Dr. Mina Seshamani, S-E-S-H-A-M-A-N-I, CMS Deputy Administrator and Director of the Center for Medicare, who joined Brooks-Lashur during the interview. On April 22nd, CMS unveiled a proposal to streamline access to the Medicare Savings Program, which helps 10 million low-income enrollees pay Medicare premiums and reduce cost sharing. Enrollees also receive drug coverage with reduced premiums and out-of-pocket costs. The subsidies make a difference. Low-income beneficiaries who have separate drug coverage plans and receive subsidies are nearly twice as likely to take their medications as those without financial assistance, according to a study DeSantina co-authored for Health Affairs in April. When CMS approves plans to be sold to beneficiaries, the only part of drug pricing it approves is the cost-sharing amount, or tier, applied to each drug. Some plans have as many as 6 drug tiers. In addition to the drug tier, what patients pay can also depend on the pharmacy, their deductible, their copayment or coinsurance, and whether they opt to abandon their insurance and pay cash. After Linda Griffith left the pharmacy without her medication, she spent a week making phone calls to her drug plan, pharmacy, Social Security, and Medicare, but still couldn't find out why the cost was so high. "I finally just had to give in and pay it because I need the meds. I can't function without them," she said. But she didn't give up. She appealed to her insurance company for a tier reduction, which was denied. The plan denied 2 more requests for price adjustments, despite assistance from Pam Smith, program manager for 5 California counties served by the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. They are now appealing directly to CMS. "It is important to us to work with our members who have questions about any out-of-pocket costs that are higher than the member would expect," said Lisa Dimond, D-I-M-O-N-D, a Humana spokesperson. She could not comment about Griffith's situation because of privacy rules. However, Griffith said she received a call from Humana executive who said the company had received an inquiry from the media. After they discussed the problem, Griffith said the woman told her the Medicare Plan Finder is an outside source and therefore not reliable information, but assured Griffith that she would find out where the Plan Finder information had come from. "She won't have to look far. CMS requires insurers to update their prices every 2 weeks. I want my money back, and I want to be charged the amount I agreed to pay for the drug," said Griffith. "I think this needs to be fixed because other people are going to be cheated." KHN, Kaiser Health News, is a national newsroom that produces in-depth journalism about health issues. It is an editorially independent operating program of KFF, Kaiser Family Foundation. From BlackEnterprise.com, Florida teen awarded over $4 million in scholarships, 27 acceptance letters, all while working on a patent for an invention that helps the blind. Article by Wendy Medina, posted April 15th. 18-year-old Jonathan Walker of Panama City, Florida, has received acceptance letters to all 27 nationally top-ranked universities he applied to, including MIT, Harvard, and Johns Hopkins, and over $4 million in scholarship offers. The Rutherford High School senior hopes that he inspires other black teens to follow their dreams of becoming inventors, too, reports the Panama City News Herald. Walker now faces the difficult choice of deciding to attend Yale, Stanford, or the University of Pennsylvania, among other Ivy Leagues. He has yet to make his decision. "So I've just really been trying to let it soak in how much of a blessing it is that I got into all of these colleges," said the 4.85 GPA holding football player. "So just like sitting back, smelling the roses." During his application process, Walker was also busy working on a patent for an invention of a braille system he and former classmate Alex Johnson developed. Previous inventions the Florida teen has worked on include an air filter that turns gas emissions into oxygen, and most recently a secure prescription drug management device that won him the 2021 #TICodes contest, a national competition held by Texas Instruments. "The way he thinks, I can see him someday being like an Elon Musk or a Steve Jobs or a Bill Gates," said Rutherford principal Coy Pilson. "His mind makes connections that most folks don't think about." While Walker admits to being inspired by Musk or Jobs or Gates, he wants to create his own path. Growing up, Walker struggled to believe he could make it as an inventor because there weren't many black faces on the tech and engineer world. I've always loved creating devices to help people, so I definitely want to further that," he said to the local outlet. "I'm looking at majoring in electrical engineering and possibly biomedical engineering to hopefully develop medical technology in order to help disadvantaged communities that have health problems." There is more on the device in the WashingtonTimes.com. in an article by Tony Mixon, M-I-X-O-N, I'm sorry, and the Panama City News Herald, Dateline Panama City, Florida, local high school students Jonathan Walker and Alex Johnson have been developing a device that turns text into Braille for some time now, and they're working with a law firm to get a patent for it. When the students first won the science fair in Pensacola several months back, the Braille system was a mere prototype. It was too large in size for portable use and still had some cleaning up for it to be applicable in society. Those days are now over. After working for several months to improve their device, Walker and Johnson were able to shrink the size dramatically, but not hinder its performance. The cells they were using inside the device were about 30 centimeters in diameter, and the improved device is using cells that are 10 centimeters in size. The two Rutherford High School students submitted their device with a video presentation to the National Invention Convention and were awarded the opportunity to receive a patent. That's when it hit home for both of them. It was surprising, and then it went from shocked to excited, Walker said. I wasn't paying attention much to the award ceremony, but my parents were tuned in, and it was a sense of relief because of all the hard work that went into it. It felt good because it shows that a law firm believes that it has some real-world applicability to it, Johnson said. According to Walker and Johnson, they came up with about 11 different versions of the device until they settled onto the one they have now. They said they are close to getting the Braille system to the point where somebody can speak into it and it will produce. With both students having to juggle classes during the COVID-19 pandemic and finishing their project, Rutherford High School principal Coy Pilson is proud of both Walker and Johnson. They're wonderful young people, and I probably would have quit, Pilson said. I don't think they see challenges. They just see problems to solve. Pilson added that both students are conscious individuals and pointed to an instance where Walker was concerned about students having internet access during school closure. Walker and Johnson even went as far as to use the school lab, but stayed on opposite sides of the room so they could social distance. Even their video presentation to the National Invention Convention was done 6 feet apart. Pilson added that both students are an example of what Rutherford has to offer, and he'll put his students up against anybody. Copyright 2022, The Washington Times, LLC. Lastly, a reminder from Loey Motis for The Blind Post. The May Blind Post News submission reminder with details. Hello, subscribers. The May edition of the Blind Post Classified News will be emailed and posted to the website on the afternoon of May 9th. Read further down on how to sponsor and submit ads, notices, and announcements. Email all submissions to foodlady@theblindpost.com on or before May 6th. Important to note that there will not be an issue of the Blind Post for the month of July. Do you have a personal story living as a blind person that might be of interest to the Blind Post readership? How do you travel? Do you use an app or service that you would like to share? Do you have a fun story about your guide dog or personal pet? Any interesting stories using your white cane? Also, any recipes you think others would enjoy? Note, poems, stories, and recipes are posted without cost. They are to share with the Blind Post News community. Thank you. Please visit the website for April sponsors and news, plus any time-sensitive announcements. www.theblindpost.com. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.